Yep, here we are again. It's the news, according to me. A good, fine, happy Thursday morning to you, folks. It is me, the one and only. Well, as far as I know, I don't know if there's an alternate universe. I have no idea. I don't know what this stuff is. There's crazy stuff out there, folks. I don't know. I'm just here. This is what I'm doing, and it's me this morning, Thursday, October 13th, 2022, at unfortunately 8:41 a.m. in Atlanta, Georgia. Once again, it's been an interesting week, and I have an interesting cup. That's what I'm going to get at here. But the week has gone by now, very interestingly. Not a lot of really huge things happening in the news. And they haven't. I haven't seen one news report, which is interesting. Not one. Which is like actually rather alarming. There hasn't been a single news report about my cup. And I've got this... Went down to this pizza place last night to eat supper. I didn't get pizza. I got the pasta. I got the baked meatball marinara. It was okay. The sauce was... It was actually good. It was baked. So it was actually baked. It wasn't just like a microwave thing. It was... they bake it in an oven fresh right there, which is... Actually, it's interesting. But it was good. It wasn't, you know, it's not super high quality stuff, but it was good. I'll put it that way. And it wasn't a large quantity. When I get their pizza there, I typically get a pizza there, and I usually have, you know, half the pizzas left over. I mean, I get full, and I, you know, I have. But the pasta was not that way. Now I don't know. I hadn't eaten much all day. Maybe it was because I was so hungry. I just ate the whole thing. I don't know. But this isn't a show about my dietary habits. Therefore, I will tell you what's in my cup. I have sweet tea in my cup. It's Atlanta, Georgia. You know, you're in the South here. Like, sweet tea flows from the trees. They have rivers of sweet tea flowing through the city here, and so you just have to dip your toe in it occasionally. You don't want to drink that tea if you dip your toe in it, but you just have to just move upstream a little bit and drink that. You can get a straw and drink that tea, as long as somebody upstream hasn't dipped their toe in it. So, unless you like the toe jam taste of tea, I don't really like toe jam tea. I try to stay away from that. It's good. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still tea, so it's still sweet, but it just has that, you know, toe jam flavor, which I'm not a fan of. Some people are. I'm not. I'm just one of those people. I have a couple things in the news been real interesting that I can think of. Of course, there's always the Joe Biden gaffes that happen. The election time's getting closer, and they're getting more desperate, and they're getting more. Rush Limbaugh talked about this a lot. He said, you know, it's interesting how the polls do. They do this thing with the polls. I was just talking to a friend of mine about this the other day, but the way the polls work, and how the Democrats are even up anywhere in any polls. With the economy and the craziness and the wackadoodleness that there is going on. Now, I know that Dr. Oz is not the greatest candidate in the world. They're trying to paint him as this, you know, good guy, Republican guy. Now he's right on some issues. I think he's going to end up being a little bit of a Brett Kavanaugh when it comes to, or a John. You know, who's the guy? John Roberts type guy. In the as far as the not that he's going to be in the Supreme Court, but he's kind of one of those kinds of people. You think he's going to be more conservative, and he ends up being more establishment and kind of a wishy-washy, mealy-mouth centrist, as they call them, which is just another name for somebody who always caves to the left, like a Mitt Romney type person. I think he's going to be more that. You know, the Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney style Republican, if you want to call him that, establishment Republican. And I just don't think that there's going to be that. I think there's probably going to be a few issues, core issues that he's probably going to be on board with, which are good. That's good. It's better than Fetterman would be. Fetterman is a radical leftist who would draw us further to the left, and he's just got a wackadoodle agenda. You know that leftists usually go towards the center to campaign, and the leftist Republicans go to the right to campaign, and then they end up being where they are. There's always this move to the, because the country is actually more center right than it is center left. And if people literally get out there and vote, now there are people on the right, there are conservatives who will not vote, the religious people that will not vote because they think that there should be this separation between church and state. That's their opinion, that's their prerogative. But you have to think about that. If that philosophy is correct and good and true, you see, this country has, I don't think you can abdicate your responsibility here in this country to vote, to not be a part of the political arena, because the founders put us on this path of a government that is for, of, and by the people. And if you don't participate, then what are you leaving the government to? If everyone followed your stand on voting and participating in the political system, if 99% of the people in this country were, that were conservative and had specific values that they want to see instilled among the people in terms of their stance on things, upheld and uphold and protected and defended. If 99% of the people felt that way, I take things to the extreme sometimes just to prove a point, then 1% of the people who don't believe those things, who have a radical agenda, who are not righteous or self-governed or have any, they are now in charge. They're the ones who are voting. So you're stepping out of the responsibility of that for whatever reason. And you have that right. I'm not going to argue that right. I'm going to argue the point that, in my opinion, it is not good to do that. I think the point there is lost on this, some kind of piety. I don't understand that type of piety, I guess. That's not in my opinion. That's just my opinion on it. You can choose to disagree. I'm not going to judge you for it or say that you're less of a person. I'm saying that the point itself, I think, is wrong. You're not wrong as a person. You're a person. I think your opinion on that is wrong. Is wrong. That's what I think. So you can say my opinion's wrong or my opinion's wrong. That's fine. I just don't see it that way. I've looked at it from every angle. And I know that there are a lot of religious people out there, including the Amish. A lot of the Amish people don't, like, the, for instance, they don't vote. A lot of them don't. They changed that. There was a time where they changed that in history where the Amish decided, yes, their bishop allowed them to vote because the issues were too strong. And I think that they came to that conclusion is that if we, the righteous, don't vote. And I'm not talking about them being in themselves right. Well, they have their candidate. Well, anyway, we'll get to that. If the people on the side of morality and godly principles do not vote, who does that leave to vote? We're being governed by the ungodly. That's where we leave. That's where it leaves us. So we have this responsibility as a nation. We are supposed to be a nation that's for, of, and by the government is for, of, and by the people, which means we are the people. We are the governors of our nation. We elect representatives. And that's important for us to step up and do that. And if there's nobody that's upholding those values to vote for, then guess what? You need to step into that position for a time and be the leader that you're being called to be. But I digress. The issues today, there's some interesting things happening. There's the polls. Get back to this whole thing with the polls and Rush Limbaugh. He made this observation early on, and I think he's correct in it. It really has played out almost every election cycle that I've seen, where the Democrats are they're ahead in the polls, or they're right neck and neck with the poll in the polls. They're slightly ahead in every controversial close race, or the battleground states, as they call them, the battleground races, and the swing, where the swing votes are. And this is happening with Fetterman in New York, and I think that Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, Pennsylvania. And this is happening there, and he's been ahead in the polls for quite a while. Now it was finally within the margin of error with Oz. Now it is actually tuning up to where he's Oz has surged a little bit here in the last, getting closer to the elections. They always tighten up. I wish I could find the actual audio of Rush saying this, because he says it much more articulately than I am. He's much more articulate in speech in general, but he talked about this, how the reason that they do this, and he has, because the polls will come out, they have these fake polls that kind of show everybody ahead in the polls, and frankly, I don't think that Republicans in general or conservatives like even answering the phone to take, they just don't like polling. They don't want to be involved in that process. They just don't answer the phone, or when they do, they just hang up. They don't trust the polls. They don't like the polls. It's kind of this whole thing of intrusion into your life. They just don't want to be intruded upon. They want to live their life, have their freedoms, and they want government to stay out of their lives. The agenda of especially the far left, is just quite the opposite. They love big government. They want big government to take care of everything. They don't want to take care of anything themselves personally. They don't want to give anything. They want the government. They're very generous with other people's money. This is exactly very true. That when you hear that statement, there, and I think Margaret Thatcher was the one who made it famous, who said the problem with liberalism is that or socialism is that at some point you run out of other people's money. It's very true. Biden comes across like he's this generous guy. He's just going to start like he's the king, and he's going to forgive everyone's college loan. He's going to give them $10,000, which that's turning out to be a hoax now too. But he's just going to step in and just start handing out checks, start handing out money. Whose money is he handing out? He's handing out our money. The taxpayer pays for that. Well, no, he's taxing the corporations. Look. When you tax a corporation, do you think you're just taxing their profits? Or do you think that they're going to increase their price on you, the taxpayer? They're still going to have their profit margin there, folks. Now, here's what they do, though. This is how they play that game. They'll tax a particular industry, the segment of this industry. And then they'll offer tax breaks to the ones they want to make or break. GE, one of the largest companies in the country, under the Obama administration, went several years without paying any corporate tax, zero tax at all. While their competitors were getting taxed to death. This is how they do it. That enables them to control. That's what they want. They don't care what it looks like. They don't care if you call it socialism or communism. But through regulation and taxation, they can control an industry. That's what it is. It's control. They don't care about the money. They care about the control, ultimately. If they can make money out of thin air, obviously they've been doing that with billions of dollars to send to Ukraine. How does that come back to our, how does that benefit our investment at all? That's just stupid. These warmongers are all about tearing down Russia and keeping their little enclave of corruption going in Ukraine. That's what they're all about with the oligarchs. So That's what's happening right now. But now, getting back to the poll thing, you know, it's they always have this thing, and the reason that they have the polls, you know, up like they do, and they reduce, you know, they tighten up at the end, and then the next thing you know, they lose. There's a couple different reasons they do this. One is because I need to take a sip of tea, and my throat is a little dry this morning. That's a little better. It's not very sweet. It's not the sweetest tea I've ever had. The polls, they keep their people up ahead to give them this air of winnability. They can win this race. This helps their donor class. As the polls begin to tighten, they can then say this, oh, they're out giving me, they're doing this, they're this is really tough. We're not sure what to do here. We got to dump more money. They need more campaign money. It's getting very close. My competitor, we're going to lose the democracy. I think Nancy Pelosi was just out this week, or just out yesterday or day before. Didn't look real good. She's not looking so good. You know, she looked like Skeletor here for the last couple of years anyway, but she's, I don't know if she didn't have her makeup on or whatever, yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there. It's kind of interesting. But so I ended up having this. Well, I'm not going to go down that road. What happens is the polls tighten up, and then they can squeeze more money out of their donors. Then what ends up happening is, you know, of course, at the end, the polls are neck and neck. That's to try to motivate their voters to get out and vote. Like, we're neck and neck. We might do this. We might lose this. And what ends up happening is that way it can go two ways. One is, if they cheat, they can make it look like, well, see, we were close anyway in the polls. If they don't cheat and they actually lose, or if they cheat and they lose, still lose. That way, it's, you know, they, oh, well, it was close, with a close race, and we almost, you know, there was, look, you don't have a mandate, and that's what they'll say. You don't have a mandate because, you know, half the people, you won't, now, if it's an overwhelming victory, if it's, you know, 60 or more percent, they'll call that a mandate. Well, we have a mandate. My agenda has a mandate because all these people were voted for me, and therefore, and, you know, I'm the majority of the people, you know, really overwhelmingly like my platform. You'll hear that mandate word. I have a mandate. Even when I think Biden even said he had a mandate because whenever they win by an extreme, what they consider to be an extreme amount, which isn't that much usually, they consider that a mandate, which means they have to push their agenda forward. They can't even listen to the other side anymore. Now I'm in charge. We have to do this. This is what the people demanded. But what you have right now is, of course, you got this other thing happening with Skeletor. I mean, Nancy Pelosi. You have she's coming out, and they're basically threatening. It's like they're holding a knife to their throat, their own throat. This is interesting when people do this. I've seen candidates do this quite often. This is kind of like Liz Cheney. Well, if they nominate Donald Trump in the Republican Party, I'm not going to be a Democrat. I'm not going to be a Republican anymore. Oh. Okay, that's good for you. That's, are we supposed to be threatened by that? Is it? No, we're going to lose Liz Cheney. Oh well, we can't lose Liz Cheney. What kind of self-aggrandized narcissistic statement is that anyway? It's like you're. It's not narcissism, I guess, but it's, well, it is, but it's like this self-important. You know, you're raising yourself up to this thing where, we have to choose between Donald Trump and Liz Cheney now. What? Now, getting back to this whole thing. So now Nancy Pelosi is out there threatening people with this idea that we're going to lose our democracy if they don't win this year. It's too important. And she even said this, made this statement that recently she was asked a question. She says, well, I'm just focused right now on winning this race. Oh. That's what you're focused on right now. You're the Speaker of the House. They were asking her about this bill. I think it was the whole issue of protecting or basically stopping Congress from insider trading. And of course, she's the one. She's been on the fire pit because of that, because her husband has been making oodles of money in his trades because of the inside information that they have through Congress. Well, they've postponed the voting on this bill. And she says, well, because we just have to focus on winning this race. We're going to lose our democracy. We're going to lose our country. If we lose, we've lost the country. That's what they think about themselves right now. They think they're the only protectors of the Constitution. They're the ones who hate the Constitution. They're the ones who hate the country. They hate the rights we have. They hate the equality, the ideals of the founding of this nation on individuality and not collectivism. But they've changed it to a democracy, a pure democracy, not a republic, not a representative constitutional republic. They hate the founders. So this is, you know, it continues to go down this road, and they're trying to uplift and make this whole thing more dire than it is. In the process of doing all this, of course, in the middle of all this, is something that they haven't liked Tulsi Gabbard for a while. But I want to get into this whole thing with Tulsi. This is the statement she made, and it's very, I don't know if you can hear the sirens in the background. I'm not sure what's going on outside. Somebody's probably catching on fire. This is the statement that Tulsi made. I want to play this. This was on Fox News that they played this. So hopefully I can get this thing paused before it gets to where their commentary is. It's interesting commentary that they have on it, but I'm not gonna get into that. Let's just listen to Tulsi talk about her takedown here. Some of the things she says, it's a scathing, scathing speech that she gives here.
I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that's under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers who are driven by cowardly wokeness, who divide us by racializing every issue and stoking anti-white racism. I believe in a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. Unfortunately, today's Democratic Party does not. Instead, it stands for a government that is of, by, and for the powerful elite. Now, I'm calling on my fellow common sense, independent-minded Democrats to join me in leaving the Democratic Party. All right, let's go.
Now, one of the things that I don't like about this clip is that they cut out a lot of things. They cut out some very important things that I wanted to have you hear. And this is the one clip I pulled up this morning that I could find. Maybe I can find a different one. One of the things that she talks about, and of course they cut this out, which tells you something about Fox News. They cut out this part about how the party has racialized everything, and they've gotten into all this stuff about anti-white racism. Well, they didn't want to have that on their show. She nails it on so many points. But this very first statement that she makes about how they, you know, the leftists have just taken this, you know, the government that's for of and by the people, not the elite at the top. When the leftists, she hits on a point here that's actually very clear. When the leftists talk about our democracy, when they talk about we the people, they're talking about the people on the Hill. They're not talking about us out here in flyover country. They're talking about themselves. Look how old Nancy Pelosi is. Look how old Mitch McConnell is. Chuck Schumer. These people are dinosaurs who probably should be, you know, sitting at home feeding the ducks, enjoying the rest of their lives. And they pretend, they think in their own minds that they are so important that the country can't do without them, and they have to be there to take care and protect this country. No, they have to protect their interests is what they're doing. They have a death grip on this power that they have, this flow, this stream of money, this web that they've built up around them. It is absolutely pathetic. And we the people are paying the price for this. And I think that she's She's right on. Now, here again, this gets back to this whole thing of who she is and whether or not this is, you know, legitimate. She's positioning herself for another run for the presidency, or possibly, I've even heard somebody say that it's going to be a Trump-Tulsi ticket in 2024. I don't see that happening. I don't think it's going to happen. I'll be real surprised if that's the case. But I've heard some pundits actually say that. I don't think so. I think Tulsi's going to run on her own, possibly on the Republican ticket, and she might have a chance to be fairly popular with Republicans. Now, here's the problem with Tulsi. It's not that she's can't be trusted, whatever. I don't think she's genuine. I don't think she's a genuine person. I think that there are a lot of things about Tulsi we don't know. When she talks, and this gets back to this whole thing of speaking and my little detector going off. I have to drink some more tea here. There is a phoniness about her when she speaks that I cannot completely describe the uneasiness that I have about her when she talks. It's a portrayal. I'll just put it that way. It's kind of an act. Now, she may fully well believe the things she's saying. She is articulate. She can speak well. But it's the way she speaks that causes me to wonder what lies beneath the surface here. Now, maybe it's just the way she's learned to speak, and maybe I don't think so. I think there's something more about the character of the person who's speaking here that says something about what's going on underneath. I don't know what that is. I can't specifically say she had something happen to her in her childhood. She had something happen to her in the military. Whatever it was, I don't know. All I know is when she speaks, I'm a little bit uneasy about it, because it seems like an act. Something about it is phony, and I don't know what it is. So that's about all I've got today. The whole thing, but the way she boldly comes out and calls out some things about the left, the radical left party, what has happened to the Democrats, is extraordinary. It's a political suicide move from the Democrat Party. They will never accept her back in again at all, not at all, because the Democrat Party isn't going to change. However, they may start losing people over this, because some other Democrats might step out with her. Sometimes it only takes one person to lead the way like that, to come out and make those statements, and then somebody will say, you know what, I feel the same way. I think it's not going to happen until after the midterms here. I think after the midterms, you're going to see some more people leaving, especially if they get us shellacking, there's going to be some Democrats leave. They're not going to like it. It's hard to tell. I think there's going to be a few more. There's going to be a few more, at least a couple more maybe that leave. But once again, folks, thanks for, I've got some things to attend to here. I have some work to do. I'd like to thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing there, just sipping your tea. Maybe that's all you're doing. I just appreciate you listening, subscribing, liking. I really am blessed by those of you who listen and that kind of thing. I should have a show tomorrow morning, possibly. And I might even do a show Saturday morning. I'm not sure how that's going to go. I've got a few other things that have been added to my schedule here, so I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. But I do appreciate those of you who listen and try to help promote the show here a little bit. So continue to pray for our nation, pray for this election season, and pray for each other, especially during this time. It's times are struggling. People are struggling somewhat. with just social issues and the stuff, the work, not necessarily financially necessarily even, just people are just struggling with just life in general. So there's a lot of chaos out there. Especially those who just got hit by the storm. They're still trying to clean that mess up and try to get life back to normal. Thanks for listening, folks. God bless. Have a great day.